Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speaker. Download the podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join on the Goodyear hotline.
Max, what is the right direction?
Yeah, by the way,
I feel myself going in the right. What is the right direction? What does that mean other than just coaching talk?
I mean, think about what the metaphor he used. Key, J. He said, you know, he knows what it looks like, and right now they're pouring the foundation. They hired Gettleman 4 years ago. If you hired a GC, Key, 4 years ago, and he told you 4 years later they're pouring the foundation, you'd be like, 4 years later? You're pouring the foundation? Are you get down in there with the cement. What are you talking about 4 years later you're pouring the foundation? Well, am I wrong?
No, he's not. No, you're wrong. He's not wrong.
How's Max wrong?
Because that's not, remember, that's not Gettleman that's speaking. It's Joe Judge that's talking. And the foundation is being poured for Joe Judge is separating himself from Gettleman. Mm-hmm. If you listening to him instead of your little emotions, y'all little emotion, giant emotions, you got to listen to the coach. The coach is separating himself from the general manager.
Okay.
By speaking to some pieces in the foundation, and I know what I see. I see, not we see.
So well, you got to pay. Key, I'm not on Joe Judge for that. I agree with
that. Just saying you got to pay attention to him. He's protecting him. That's why we played his post-presser, so we're listening to him. He ain't mentioning Gettleman.
No doubt, but you're
mentioning
focused
in on Gettleman.
But don't worry about Gettleman. But that's
Gettleman,
why.
That because Gettleman stuff is taking care of itself. I can assure you Gettleman will not be the general manager beyond this
season.
Well,
that's fine. I hear you. But that's why I'm saying, like, as a Giants fan, I'm sitting here going, when you made the hire, all the Giants fans said, this is going to be a disaster. Every step of the way, Giants fans are saying, this is a disaster. 4 years later, aha, it was a disaster. Right?
Players are still there, and the new coach has only been on the job a year and three quarters of a season.
Fair enough. I'm not coming at Joe Judge. Jay, you're not happy with Judge.
I mean, you can come at Joe Judge a little bit here. I mean, I hear what you guys are both saying as it relates to Gettleman in the draft picks and what could have been, but – you know, all I've been hearing about is discipline. I just continue to see a team that's very undisciplined. Mm-hmm. And now, granted, not playing without Daniel Jones, I get that. Mike Glenn, I understand all these pieces. But still, like, you know, Key, you talked about last game for Saquon Barkley. Like, I want to see him being used. Like, utilize our best player to the best of his degree.
You certainly want to see what you have in Saquon Barkley. But if the game – in the flow of the game is not allowing you as an offense to figure out what he is, that's okay right now because you're not even with the system. I mean, you're not even with the coaches you're going to be with next year. Like, Freddie Kitchens is not calling plays for the Giants beyond these next four games. It's just not it's factually true. He's not going to be their offensive play caller in 2022. He's just there on an interim basis because they realize that Jason Garrett was not getting it done. Joe Judge, on the other hand, sees some talent just like I do for the Giants. I've always seen there's some talent. The problem is coaching them up and getting them to do the right things. That falls on the coaching staff as a whole. That's why there'll be immense changes come the offseason on the coaching staff.
Yeah, and the Giants, by the way, like, I'm not denying, like, it's too early. The jury is out on Joe Judge. The jury is out. Jury is in on Gettleman. And let's be honest about Daniel Jones. He might one day be a solid NFL quarterback. You know, there are flashes, right? And you can win just with a solid NFL quarterback if he's great on third down and money in the playoffs. But you're banking on that. It's not a wise thing to try to stack the deck in your favor, banking on a guy playing out of his mind in the playoffs. The best way to do it is just go get a great quarterback. The Tom Brady's, the Aaron Rodgers, the Patrick Mahomes, and now you see it in Justin Herbert. If you have a chance to get
but
that
Max,
guy, go get him.
You act like that. Max, you be acting like it just, you can walk down the street, look at a tree, and just get a ladder and pull it out the tree.
No, no, not exactly. But if you're drafting near the top of the draft year in and year out, at a certain point, I could say, time out. You drafted up there 4 or 5 years in a row. Here are the great quarterbacks who've come out in that time. Here is a Justin Herbert, and you ain't got him.
You know that there's more top five quarterbacks that didn't pan out in the National Football League than any position on an average?
I get you. I get it. But that's not – it's his job to evaluate talent. And they reached at six for Jones, and they've doubled down and thrown bad money after good, and it will keep them in this pattern of let's see what we have in Daniel Jones for the next several years. Giants fans understand, they ain't going anywhere for years.
It's a lot of example guys, like, you know, the Phoenix Suns, James Jones, their GM. Oh, okay. Devin Booker, I like the way he plays. Reminds me a little bit of Kobe Bryant. Let me get him. Oh, okay. DeAndre Ayton, I can put him in this series. Oh, let me go get this guy in free agency. Oh, Mikal Bridges, he'll be a late first-round pick, but I can pick him up the right way. It's about putting together the right pieces of a team that is now going to the NBA championship. It's one of the best teams in the NBA right now. It's like the same with Bill Belichick. Oh, okay, we have to retool. I'm going to wait for my guy, Mac Jones. He's going to be the guy. So I keep seeing other franchises hit, right? And then I keep seeing our franchise
miss. Know what it is
miss.
That you're describing and what he's describing to me, Key, what Jay is just describing, is Belichick taking a sober look at things. There are franchises that want to squint and see what they want to see because they need it. If they need a quarterback, they squint and they go, ooh, there it is in this draft. I can
you
get him
understand,
now.
You do understand if Daniel Jones is playing for Bill Belichick right now, the Patriots might be in the same position.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Daniel Jones is
– I don't think Bill Belichick will ever draft Daniel Jones.
Well,
if he was sitting there, he'd take Daniel Jones and the Patriots would be in the same spot.
I agree with that.
They're not going to utilize him at the same level that the Giants utilize.
And if he was coached by Belichick and them, he wouldn't be making the same mistakes. I'm just saying what Belichick would never do is reach for Daniel Jones. What Belichick would do is get Daniel Jones in the second round. He wouldn't reach for him at six. What he would never do is draft a running back second overall. Never. It'll never happen. World could go on for a trillion years. He's never drafting a running back with the second pick in the draft.
No, you're right about that.
Right. Yeah, okay. So, of course, if you're drafting all the time high up, you're going to have some talent on your team. But where are you getting the talent? What are you shooting your capital on? It's they're the Giants are a mess.
You know what's so funny?
Yeah.
DeAndre Baker sure looks good for the Kansas City Chiefs. Wasn't he a Giant once upon a time?
You're right. It's drafting and development is the other thing.
That's all I'm saying. He was a guy that was drafted by Dave Gettleman, had red flags, got in trouble, whatever the case is, got released. Now he's at the Kansas City Chiefs balling. Isn't it amazing when you go somewhere that makes sense?
What I want is John Mara to step up to the mic and say, you know what? I have failed miserably as CEO and especially team president. It is very clear that the results I've gotten are totally substandard for any market, but especially for the New York Football Giants over the last 10 years. Thought I could fix it with my last GM hire. That was a colossal mistake. I have to hire a better president than me as the owner. That's what I want to hear. Some accountability from the man on top, Key. That's what I want to hear.
You're not going to hear it.
Not going to hear it, Emma.
You're not going to get what you want. Not at all.
Keyshawn, J. Will & Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, protecting your business with specialized coverages for your commercial vehicles. More at ProgressiveCommercial.com. We're asking at Key, J. & Max who the best team in the AFC is right now. On that note, let's play Believe It or Not.
Believe it or not.
Hold up. Huh? Even Ripley is wondering, do you believe it or not?
Okay, Pat, producing today. Why don't you come in here and set us up for Believe It or Not?
Let's go, PC.
Sure, guys, let's do it. Believe It or Not, we're going to do serious AFC Super Bowl contenders coming off of yesterday's slate of games. So, Key, we'll start with you on this one. The Patriots, the team we were just talking about, believe it or not, that they're a serious Super Bowl contender.
I certainly believe that they are a serious Super Bowl contender. When you look at the couple teams that are left in the AFC down the wire, they're certainly – the Kansas City Chiefs, the New England Patriots are right there sitting there. And Bill Belichick, he's done it. He's been in this position before. He understands it. A lot of people had the Buffalo Bills running away with the division. I think I was probably one of the only ones that felt like, based on the money that they spent in the offseason, and not even Daniel Jones. I was thinking originally Cam Newton. But based on the way that they retooled everything, that they were going to give the Bills a run for the money. Guess what? They're in front of them right now. They are the number one seed in the AFC conference.
Yeah, that's easy. That's believe it. You got the greatest coach of all time. You have a team that kills you with a death by a thousand cuts. And you have a quarterback that they keep in the reins and doesn't try to overdo things. And they execute, man. There's something about a team that executes each and every down.
Believe it. No one's ever even been to the Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, but records are meant to be broken. And by the way, Mac Jones, as much as we kind of downplay the talent and this and that, like, broke every passing record in college at Alabama. Like, Mac Jones is not just, hey, steady Eddie guy who you got late in the draft and can hold things down. I think he's better than that. I think the Patriots are live.
Jay, we'll start with you on this one because the team you've been riding for this season.
Nope.
Which one?
I don't believe it. That's easy.
The Buffalo
you don't have to say
Bills.
Their name.
Jay, believe it or not, serious
bing
contenders.
Bang.
Look, I don't believe it. Is there a chance they get hot? But I still think watching the way they got punished on the ground, something about the Bills just feels off. And Josh Allen, third game last night, he rushed over 100 yards. Incredible opportunity. Still think that was a PI that could have been called on Diggs. But at the end of the day, I mean, they got themselves in a pretty big hole, and I think the Bills are out of it.
I believe it. I think it's in there somewhere. I have to admit they're getting gashed on the ground. But I don't know. Until a couple weeks ago, they looked great. And then it started falling apart because they can't stop the run. But if they were stopping the run early, they're top five in the league, six in the league against the run. Suddenly they just forgot how to do it. I don't know.
They weren't playing against anybody.
I think a lot of people put too much heat on the Buffalo Bills. They got too hype about the way that they finished a year ago, and they just felt like, oh, the Bills are going to roll. It's like, well, okay, they played well. They went to the AFC Championship game. But this team, in my opinion, is not for the long haul. They've got to do some things this offseason. If they want to continue to push in the AFC East, they're going to have to do some things in the offseason to address a few spots on their side of the ball, on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm. Way to throw me a dagger, Pat. Thank you. Next.
Okay, we'll start with you on this one because last week you said that you were not sold on Tua. So are the Dolphins serious contenders to compete for a Super Bowl?
No, I don't think they are. I don't think they are serious contenders to. I believe not. They are not serious contenders to contend for a Super Bowl title. They've had some flashes. Tua's had some mediocre flashes, but they're not sold on Tua. Because if they was sold on Tua, they wouldn't have flirted with several quarterbacks that's out there that could potentially be available to them in the offseason.
Yeah, I don't believe them to be Super Bowl contenders at all. But look, I will tell you, they're going to win six in a row. I mean, they're going to beat the Jets. And I think Tua's playing a lot better to the point where his completion percentage is so high. It really, as a coaching staff, would have to make you say, man, he's really showing improvement. He's really progressing in the right way. If he continues on this progression chart, like, where will he be? I'm not saying it doesn't make you take Deshaun Watson if he's available, but it definitely makes you rethink it to a degree.
You know what's also cool just watching a left-handed quarterback? It just always looks kind of – especially this dude's been crazy accurate recently. I like the Dolphins to compete at the top of the division when the season started. That hasn't quite happened, but you can see where it's in there somewhere. Like, if they have to stay with Tua, I think they're okay.
Shout out to Jay for progressment on that one. I'm not sure.
Progressment?
I don't think that's a word, Jay.
Yeah, well, it just happened.
What?
Believe it
Urban
or not,
Dictionary,
Max.
Urban Dictionary, progressment.
Progressment. Look it up.
Believe it or not, Max, we'll start with you on this one. Mm-hmm. The Ravens are the serious Super Bowl contenders.
Not. If Lamar is healthy, then yes, because it's even though it's unlikely, he can paper over a lot of your problems for 3-4 games, even with the chips on the line. I think he could do it. But without Lamar, it's a wrap. I mean, Huntley's pretty good, but Lamar has three times this year been the best football player on earth, and that's the only reason they won those three games. And if you take that away and replace him with just a normal good player, and Huntley might be good, they ain't going to win those games. They're not even in the conversation. They need Lamar or it's a bust.
Go ahead, Key.
Oh, I thought you were going to go because you were sitting right there. Look, the Ravens are not Super Bowl contenders. Even with Lamar in the lineup. There's too many holes on the back end. There's no Marcus Peters. There's no Humphrey. Deshaun Elliott is gone. I mean, when you start to just look at from a defensive standpoint, they're missing so many bodies. Now when we go to the offense, who's the running back? I mean, like, who's helping in the rushing attack game with Lamar? So when you start to look at all of that, it's like, I like it. I like Harbaugh. I like the quarterback. I like the team. But too many injuries have caught up to them. And, you know, they're going to be a one-and-done type playoff team.
Yeah, I don't believe it. I'm with both Key and Max here. I mean, Lamar Jackson is special. It just you can't put – I mean, the entire weight of the franchise is on my man's shoulders each and every down. So him battling off that injury, I just don't see them going very far.
Let's stay in that division. Key, the Browns, believe it or not, as serious Super Bowl contenders.
They are serious Super Bowl contenders, and here's why. If they could somehow get a home playoff game, win the division and get a home playoff game, then I think they have what is the recipe for success. A dominant pass rush with Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney coming off the edge. Shut down corners and Greedy Williams along with Denzel Ward. Top-notch secondary as a whole. A tight end that can get open in a running game that's portable, that can move to different stadiums. They could be serious contenders because I don't need the quarterback to do all that much.
I don't believe it. Obviously, his team has battled through a ton of injuries. Baker himself has battled through injuries. I know their running game is something that can go anywhere it wants, but at the end of the day, even with Myles Garrett playing the way they do, just something still feels off about the Browns. It doesn't feel like they are the complete package. And I know every team goes through their challenging times. It just seems like I don't know if they're going to come out of their challenging times.
Not Baker's too banged up. And that shot he took, he got absolutely trucked. Here is where we sit, like Key and Jay. Key has talked a lot about, and also other football guests we've had, talked about the size of quarterbacks. You know, do you draft a guy up high? Baker's a small guy to be taking those kind of shots, and I think ultimately that undoes the Browns. It'll be their undoing. They're not real Super Bowl contenders this year.
You know what? One more from that division, because why not? The Bengals. Jay, we'll start with you. The Bengals, believe it or not, serious Super Bowl contenders in the AFC.
I believe it to a degree. I mean, look, you can't take the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands down the stretch. But with the talent they have from the wide receiver position, with Joe Mixon, with the way to run, their defense has gotten better. I think at the end of the day, Cincinnati has the talent to be there. I definitely believe in Cincy more than I believe in the Browns.
Yeah, I would say they're not serious Super Bowl contenders. They're flirting Super Bowl contenders. Like, it looks to me like next year. They need this year to figure stuff out. Next year, they're going to be among the favorites. This year, Key, I would say they're flirting with it,
so
but they're not serious.
You don't believe it?
I don't
this
believe
year.
It.
Okay.
No.
Key, what do you think, Bengals?
No, I'm just thinking. I would say that they are a year ahead of schedule, very young. Zach Taylor is one of the top two coaches in the NFL, and they got a long ways to go. I don't think that they're there. Not at all. They got a long ways to go.
The Tennessee Titans. Max, we'll start with you. Believe it or not, serious Super Bowl contenders coming out of the AFC.
Not. Let me see Derrick Henry back and healthy before I say yes. And I like them. They're good. They're the kind of team that could win a Super Bowl if everything's right. But they have the kind of quarterback, athletic, good, the whole thing, that you don't really believe is in that special category until you see it. He would have to come up very, very clutch, Tannehill,
man,
to win the whole
thing. Man, I
didn't
catch my top two. Y'all
missed
that.
Oh, I caught your top two.
He's a top two coach.
No,
man.
No, we caught it.
We caught it. Catch that.
Spoke for itself. No, it was caught. Nothing was – no Aguilar here. We caught it.
I believe that with conviction.
I'm with you, Max, on Tennessee. I mean, if Derrick Henry – it would have been a completely different conversation. But both Tennessee and the Buffalo Bills, I'm just disappointed overall.
Yeah, Tennessee's not a contender. Let's just move on.
Yeah. Keep it positive. Way to keep it positive, Key.
Last two here, guys. The Colts, believe it or not, Key, we'll start with you. Serious contenders in the AFC.
I do believe so, and here's why. If they win the division, I think they got a quality running game, right, that's portable. They got a defense that's solid and sound that can play lights out football. and they got a quarterback that can play football. I know a lot of people don't like Carson Wentz, especially people in Philadelphia or people on the East Coast. They feel a certain way about him. But this dude can play. And I think as long as he continues to have success and not turn the football over, the Indianapolis Colts will be in a position to fight it out to go to the Super Bowl.
I don't believe it. Maybe if they had Nick Foles on the bench, I would believe it for when it starts getting hairy.
See, but, that personal attack like I was talking about.
It's not personal. It's based on all the things I've seen from Carson Wentz. And I'll be the first to say it. Carson Wentz went from great early in his career, steady slide down till he was terrible, which I identified before anyone else, by the way. When everyone was saying in the second half of that year, oh, he's an MVP. I was like, no, watch him play. He's not good. And he got worse and worse till he lost his job. This year he's good. He's playing good football, as Key would say. Steady and sound when they need him to, making big plays when they need him to. But I've also noticed choking in certain moments, and I think that'll continue in the playoffs.
Hey, Max, you do know his numbers is very eerily similar to when he was having an MVP season.
No doubt. I just gave him his props.
Tell him
I gave him his props, but I don't believe him. I don't believe in him under pressure.
I'm just saying.
They could squeak it out here, guys. I mean, look, it's game against the Pats at home. I mean, big-time game then on the road against the Cardinals, but –
Loss.
Key talks about that portal game, like Jonathan Taylor, man. I mean, yeah. That defense, too, the way they're playing. Carson Wentz, the numbers are solid. And not turning the ball over has been something he's been a lot better at. I kind of believe it.
All right, last one here. Dave Rothenberg's new favorite team, apparently, and quarterback. The Chargers, believe it or not, as serious contenders in the AFC. Max, we'll start with you.
Believe it. They got Justin Herbert, a big, excellent left tackle. He's got a ton of weapons, and they're a long shot, but they got a puncher's chance because of Justin Herbert.
I believe it to a degree, but I don't believe – no, actually, I take it back. I don't believe it this year. I think next year I will have a lot more similar to what you had before. You know what I mean? Like a
Cincinnati
like a
Chargers.
Cincinnati, like a little bit away.
Yeah.
Like I kind of believe that about Chargers. It's there. I just don't know if I see it coming to fruition this year.
Yeah.
The Chargers are a lot like the Bengals, a year ahead of schedule. I think as they continue to build and put some more pieces around them, Brandon Staley is only in his first year, second-time head coach, second time around, could potentially have this team marching in a different direction. I think that they'll fight to the end and they'll make us go, but then in the end, they'll come up just short.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're all on the same page there. By the way, wait till you hear what LeBron James did yesterday. Thank you, Pat. Well done. Wait till you hear what LeBron James did yesterday. That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 8.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right. Mm-hmm. Time for a little A to Z. Mm-hmm. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. Mm-hmm. LeBron became the oldest player in league history to record a 30-point triple-double in Los Angeles in their win. The Lakers win 106-94 over the Orlando Magic Sunday. Lakers won three of their last four games to improve to 15-13. With LeBron topping 30 in all of those victories, here's the question, guys. Are LeBron and the Lakers finally getting on track? Jay?
I think they're trending in the right direction. I don't know about getting on track like championship contender yet track. I still think they have a long way to go. But I will say this for LeBron, oldest player to ever post a 30-point triple-double And he did it by playing at the five position. Anthony Davis, you know, not available due to that sore knee. And how about they played road back-to-back games, Memphis and OKC. He then flew to Phoenix to watch little Bronny play, then flew back to play in this game and dropped that 30-point triple-double. That says something about how mentality-wise he is focused and ready to start pushing.
He's 37.
Yeah.
He's 37, and he's been playing in the league since he was, what, 18? Key?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the Lakers at all. I am fine. We are two games above 500. And we continue to get better. And as we get better, hopefully we get healthier. We get some of our pieces back. I worry about things after the All-Star break. I don't worry about right now. We're fine. I'm not going to dive into all the analytics and statistics about LeBron James and what he's capable of doing. A lot of people have counted against LeBron James and what he's capable of doing just because they don't like him personally.
By the way, LeBron has gone. There are two things. LeBron has gone from choking in the finals, which he did against, you know, when he was with Miami. No question. He played hot potato with the ball in the fourth quarter.
Strong word there, Max.
Well, okay. It's true, but that's what it was. You can't be afraid to say what happened. He choked against who was it against? It was against Dallas. He choked. But he has become since then one of the greatest playoff performers in the history of American team sports. He's had some playoff performance, like series where you go, oh, my God, it's just filthy. Filthy. Like, KD would go off, and I'd be like, oh, my God, look at that stat line. And then I'd look, and I'd go, LeBron's had, like, eight games like that in these playoffs. He's been insane. That's the first thing. So, like, when it matters most, LeBron's usually as good as it has ever been, basically. The second thing is this. Russell Westbrook, I keep saying it, every year, this is his fourth consecutive year on a new team with new teammates. He's ball dominant. It takes him the first half of a season where he looks terrible, and so does the team, to get going. And in the second half, he's usually amazing. The Lakers, if they stay healthy, Jay, I'm telling you, they're going to be fine. Okay. They got to stay healthy.
All right.
You don't believe it?
I just don't believe it yet.
Don't believe it yet. All right. Chicago Bulls. Oh, this is interesting, guys. Team-wide COVID-19 outbreak continued to spread on Sunday. Zach LaVine and Troy Brown Jr. entered the NBA's health and safety protocols. So they're in additions to that list announced by the team. Listen to this. Bring the Bulls' total of players to nine. Nine players in the league's COVID-19 protocols since the start of the month, Jay. How big of a concern is this, not only for the Bulls, but for the NBA?
It's a major concern. So what's been happening is, you know, the Bulls have a 100% vaccination rate, yet there is a COVID outbreak on the team. Obviously, a new variant, but one of the challenges that the league has to have is that you have to implement new rules for vaccinated players that have to be the same as unvaccinated players in order for the league to move forward. What you have is vaccinated players are still going out, they're going to nightclubs, and they're not being tested at the same rate as unvaccinated players, and that's why you have these outbreaks. So, yes, different times, but in order for the league to continue to move in the right direction, which means trying to complete a full season, Adam Silver has to change the rules.
Key, on the other hand, I hear what Jay's saying. He's right. There must be something done or you're going to go to the integrity of the season. But Key, on the other hand, if you make the rules exactly the same for the vaccinated and unvaccinated, you're taking away incentive to get players vaccinated, right? Like, what do you do here?
Well, I think most of the players are vaccinated. There's only a handful that are not, correct?
97% of the league is vaccinated. You're right.
So that's most of the players. So you might as well go ahead and implement it that way.
That's a good point. That's a good point. The holdouts probably going to be holdouts regardless at this point.
Exactly.
97% is an extremely high vaccination rate compared to the general population. The NBA has gotten this right since the beginning. They look so good through the whole pandemic. It's really remarkable. They were able to complete the championship right in the teeth of everything. Then they come back this year. But, Jay, you're right. If the Bulls play without their team, come on. And they won't be the last team to be
games.
In the, yeah.
You got to start doing all that stuff. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. It really doesn't. All right. Where does the league go from here with all that? Jay's probably right. You got to increase the kind of
daily testing for everyone. Go back, almost revert back to what it was when you're in the bubble, but you're not in the bubble.
Yeah, I know for me personally, because of Omicron now, I am more wary of crowds. I was getting more comfortable. I've been vaccinated twice. I still have to get my booster, by the way. And now I'm less comfortable. I'm getting my booster like ASAP because because of what's going on.
And what's happening in the league, a lot of guys are vaccinated. Guys are sneeze, guys are things that sort. They're like, oh, I'll just be fine. It's cold.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really getting tested at the same kind of, you know, volume as unvaccinated players. It's fascinating.
Yeah, you can't drag your feet. All right. Coming up next, Rex Ryan joins us. Always one of the highlights of the week.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM channel 80, or smart speaker. Download the podcast. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join on the Goodyear Hotline. Rex Ryan is
Sexy
in studio,
Rex.
And before, during the commercial break, right as the music almost started playing, Jay tells Rex from where we're sitting, it's Jay, me, and Rex, and there's a garbage pail, I don't know, about 8 feet from Rex, something like that.
Let's stretch it to 10.
Yeah, let's call it 10.
Stretch it to 10.
And Jay said, swing pass.
Catch and shoot, Rex.
Catch and shoot. Swings the crumpled up paper to Rex. Rex calls glass.
Call glass.
Bank off the TV
it
monitor.
Off the TV monitor.
Boom.
In. Nothing but the bottom. There's a rumor that the Knicks are looking at me.
They could probably use your help
so
right now.
So Rex Ryan is an ESPN analyst, not just a crumpled up paper shooter. Joins giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Rex, how concerned are you about Aaron Rodgers' pinky toe?
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. He's going to be fine. He's just wanting to get out of practice, you know?
Can I clarify? You are the toe expert.
I'm a toe expert.
I heard you refer to yourself as a toe expert.
I'm a toe expert, yes. And so, guys, don't worry about it. He's going to be just fine. So, yeah, I mean, come on, please. Nobody knows a toe better than I do. The dude's fine. He's just trying to get out of practice.
What? I mean, you really look at the numbers. So what was more impressive to me about them was just their defense, too. I mean, their defense is getting better. And we're talking about, you know, who's going to win MVP, Tom Brady, obviously, in that conversation. But Aaron Rodgers is right there, Rex. I mean, the season they're putting together, and most of his offensive line is depleted.
No, and that's what's unbelievable. Look, every single week, this guy is just amazing. And, look, he goes for 4 touchdowns, all right, 350 yards. You know the team that he's playing is doing everything in their power to say, we're not going to let them own us and all that type of stuff. They're ready to go. They're at their best. And he just scorches them. But he does it week in, week out. And the dude, here's the thing that is the most impressive thing about him. He's so, like, poised. Like, nothing rattles him. Yet he is laser-focused at the same time. And I don't think you see that in many guys. Like, it is amazing that this guy, you know, is the player he is. But here's the craziest thing. This dude's got a chance to be a free agent next year. Like, are you kidding me? What's that contract going to look like?
Yeah, just blank check here, Philly.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's something we're very curious to get your input on, Rex. Dan Orlovsky sat in that chair.
I'm not curious.
Key is dying to hear this. He wants to know. Key doesn't know the answer to this question. He's really looking for you as an opinions forum.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Dan Orlovsky sat in the chair in which you are sitting, I don't know, an hour ago, and told us that Matt LaFleur is the third best coach in the NFL right now. What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, give me a break, dude. I mean, hey, I'd be the third best coach in the NFL if I had Aaron Rodgers.
Rex, do
yes,
me a favor, please.
Yeah.
For me and you, for both of our health, don't even answer the damn question.
I mean, it is
don't
ridiculous.
Don't even answer it.
Because, look, hey, the dude – Cliff Kingsbury should be in that conversation this year, all right? But, I mean, come on. Like, Belichick's clearly number one, and then you draw a line.
Andy Reid.
And then you got Andy Reid and all the usual suspects and
Mike
all that.
Mike Tomlin and Harbaugh.
But Harbaugh's done way more with less. Like, how the hell that team's got 8 wins? They got half a roster. I mean, that's beyond me. He'll never get the award, but it is the truth. But I want to give credit to Cliff Kingsbury. Here's a guy that humbled himself, changed the whole makeup of his football team because he wants to win and not just throwing it out all over the dang place like he did when he first came in the league. Now they're physical. We're going to see that tonight. All right? This team right here can go to 11-2 with a win tonight. So we'll see about it. But to me, he would be the guy that should get some credit of being the number 3 guy.
You're
but
that Matt key, LaFleur, definitely LaFleur, not top 3 key,
no,
according to Rex. So now
no.
You know.
No, it's not. It's
not even close.
What was the one thing that Rex said that I already said? He got damn Aaron Rodgers, man.
Yeah.
First
thing
he
said.
Stop. I get it. Dan Orlovsky is an offensive guy and a quarterback, so he thinks, oh, the coach is a great play caller, and blah, blah, blah. He designed so wonderful.
Why do you sound like
look,
that?
Stop, man. Oh. One thing that I know Rex knows is football, and one thing I know is football. I may not know anything else, but that's what I do know, and I know damn well that ain't a top 3 coach. When I don't even want to get into Sean McVay or Cliff Kingsbury or Mike Tomlin. I mean, like you, there's so many other coaches that are above him right now, and that, as I said to you before, if I took the top 10 coaches and I fired all of them and they were available, and then all of a sudden I fired LaFleur, he'd be the last dude that somebody hire, man.
Rex,
he'd be the last one.
If they won a Super Bowl this year, though, would that change your, not saying top 3 at all, because I think that conversation is blasphemous. But, like, how would that change your perception of Matt LaFleur?
It wouldn't.
It wouldn't at all.
Because this is not his team. This is Aaron Rodgers' team.
So is that like Steve Kerr and Stephen Curry to a degree? It's like Steph Curry's like, oh, Steph Curry's team. I mean, it doesn't mean Steve Kerr is a top NBA coach?
Well,
it's interesting parallel.
I mean, I'm looking at it. You're right. I mean, if you have, like, LeBron James, right? You guys say he's one of the best of all time. Okay, I like Will Chamberlain, but that's me. But anyway, I mean, anytime you coach him, isn't he coaching your team? Like, and he's the coach on the floor. He's all this type of stuff. And to me, I mean, I want to sign up for it. Max, you can go coach this Green Bay Packer team. I'm telling you, all right?
But why couldn't
and
Mike
I can
McCarthy
go be a boxing coach for, you know, whoever.
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, Floyd. Hey, get her done, babe. You got it. Like, yeah, I'm a great freaking boxing
but
coach.
But Rex, Mike McCarthy lost his job coaching Aaron Rodgers. LaFleur came in, next man up, came in, NFC Championship game.
Right.
NFC Championship game got a little closer. He ain't ever taken the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands again in that situation. We'll see what happens this year. So far, like, he can't do much better.
No, I'll give him credit. I mean, he's one of 5 guys that have taken his team to back-to-back championship games as a rookie coach. One of 5 guys. You're talking to another one.
Yeah.
All right,
sure.
I'm one of those 5. The difference is, if I have Aaron Rodgers, I'd still be taking my team to freaking championships. I can assure you.
You taking Bruce Arians over Matt LaFleur?
Yeah, because Bruce is a hell of a guy. So yeah, heck yeah, you know, go out there, have a couple of cocktails and things like that. So yeah, I'll take Bruce. But look, I got to give the kid, you know,
especially
the guy
if you got
credit.
An offensive coordinator and a quarterback that Bruce has, right?
Yeah, exactly.
He's done a tremendous job. There's no question about it.
He has.
When you start talking about top 3 coaches in a game, that's when you lose me.
Yeah,
right.
I threw all the top 3 stuff out the window, though. I wasn't having that conversation.
Like John Harbaugh to me, like, guys, this might be one of the best jobs he's ever done. And because this team, I'm watching them. I'm like, who the hell's that? They have nobody in the back end that I even recognize. And they're still in these games. They got number 2 jumps in at quarterback. And I'm like, who's that guy?
So how about this, Rex? So let's leave Belichick's in a class by himself. And then comes Andy Reid and Harbaugh and Tomlin and Sean Payton and Arians and guys who've won Super Bowls and who are well-liked and can motivate the team and do X's and O's and all this kind of stuff. Of the young hotshots, Key likes McVay better.
Right.
I would say McVay And whatever order you want to put them in, LaFleur are leading the pack of the young hotshots behind the old established guys. Where do you say to that?
Well, I mean, I like those guys. There's no question they've done great jobs. But to me, Cliff Kingsbury has to be,
okay.
He has to be in that conversation. And I mean, he's a young dude, and he's done a hell of a job. And you look at this. But his team is physical. So Kingsbury's team is physical. Yeah. And to me, that's where, I mean, I like that approach that he has. He can beat you, being creative in the passing game. We know that about him. But he can also be creative in the running game. Nobody runs more out of four wides than he does. And he's got a defense that's balling. So, to me, I think Cliff Kingsbury deserves a lot of credit here.
Before we let you go, we got about a minute. What do you think the biggest factor in the turnaround for the Chiefs is, like, even if you want to say defense, what about
the
defense?
Yeah, absolutely. That defense is balling, man. I mean, first off, Chris Jones is playing about as well as anybody. And then you got Reed from Seattle. That was a guy they picked up a couple, you know, it's like he's a throwing. My buddy's a throwing. The guy's playing great. They pick up Melvin Ingram, who we thought, oh, he's done or what. Well, look what he has energized that team even more. And Tyrann Mathieu's just is playing like he always does. But I think the two guys that nobody mentions are the linebackers. These young linebackers, Nick Bolton, they drafted in the first round, and this kid named Gay, I think number 50, the other inside linebacker. These two guys are balling also. So to me, Steve Spagnuolo, who I'm always been like, I'm not the biggest believer in Steve Spagnuolo, but quite honestly, he's done a hell of a job with this football team too.
Rex Ryan does a hell of a job every day on the air. Thank you, Coach.
You
why
guys
Key
know
believes,
I can, let me go
why
for it
Key
again.
Believes Dak needs to clean some stuff up. Coming right up. Oh, Key almost went 2 for 2.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.